Our first scripture this morning tells of the first Pentecost day in Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. If you would like to follow along, this can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 119 of the New Testament. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Gracious God, living word, as you revealed yourself to those first witnesses on these first days of Easter, so reveal yourself to us. By the power of your Spirit, give each of us faith, that hearing your word, we too may proclaim, I have seen the Lord. Amen. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came the sound of the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowds gathered and were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "Oh, they're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Beloved of God, this is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Thanks be to God.
So sermons are fundamentally an act of proclaiming the good news that we have received, the good news of Jesus that calls us and challenges us and invites us into a new way of life. A sermon is fundamentally the proclamation of what God has done, of what God is doing and has promised to keep doing in Jesus Christ. It is an affirmation of what is true about us, and who we are, and who we are called to be because of what is true, because of what is sure and certain about who God is. And it's a reminder that we know who God is because of who Jesus Christ is. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And that, at its core, is the purpose of a sermon. And so we might think of what is really the first Christian sermon. Think back, 2 months or so ago to Easter, that astounding proclamation on that first Easter morning when Mary and Joanna and Mary and those other unnamed women go running back from the empty tomb and proclaim to that first congregation of those men who were fearfully huddled together in that upper room that the tomb was empty, that Jesus is risen just like he had said. The first sermon proclaiming what is true and life-changing, proclaiming the good news that the one who had been crucified by all the powers that be of this world is now risen. And the invitation then to come and see and know that this changes everything. Or perhaps we think of the sermon on that day, that Pentecost day of the birth of the church that Jackie just read for us, when the wind and the fire of the Spirit came rushing down and in and among God's people, empowering them to speak and to hear of God's deeds of power in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And Peter stands up and gives a sermon on the occasion of the birth of the church. A sermon proclaiming the Spirit now being poured out upon all flesh, poured out upon men and women alike, young and old alike, slave and servant and free alike. This is what God is doing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is now how it is being poured out on us. Peter calling all. No longer those old, tired, and worn out divisions of culture, tradition, gender, or economics. But that what God is doing is undoing what we in all of our ways, perhaps in our pride or our fearfulness, that we have done and wrought upon ourselves. And just like the Spirit now that hovered on and brooded over and swept along the waters of creation, God's new creation, Peter proclaims, is at work in what has been and is redeeming all into something new, the resurrected life of Christ now being breathed into this world and into all that would receive it. For all of creation has become the staging ground for God's kingdom come and coming, where walls are torn down, peace proclaimed and made, justice and righteousness for all and in all and through all now to be embodied, lived out, and lived into by the same Spirit raise Jesus from the dead. That's where Peter goes with that first sermon on the occasion of what we look back on as Pentecost and the birth of the church. In one way or another, this is the good and the challenging news, the gospel, that sermons are meant to proclaim. Which puts me in an awkward position this morning. Because what we have coming up here shortly in the service proclaims this far better than any words I can put together. For on this Pentecost Sunday, Calvin Presbyterian Church, on this Pentecost Sunday for us, we will shortly have two of our youth standing up here to say, yes, this promise of this good news, this is good news, this is for them. Here in the very flesh of our community, some of our teenagers will stand up here as those who were baptized as children, far before anything they can remember. I've asked them. They don't remember their baptism. But even then, something happened. And it was something that they did not cause. Years ago, in some sort of place like this, in a room something like this, in the midst of a people something like us, they were brought to the front to be marked with the waters of baptism. And promises were made and affirmed on their behalf, that God was for them, before they were for themselves. That Jesus loved them before they could have any say in the matter. And that the same Spirit that rushed over the waters of creation was present for them in the waters of baptism. And that the gown that day, all those years ago, the gathered community of God in that place said yes and proclaimed that the good news is indeed true. And now today, they're going to come up and they're going to stand up here and confirm what God has already confirmed for and in them. Confirming publicly what has already been true, that they belong to God. And together, as this gathered community of God, we will say, yes, this good news is true. It is true for old and young alike, men and women alike, and that in Christ we belong to each other. And God's Spirit has indeed been poured out on all flesh. That Matt, joining us from at home, and Jessica and Ezra here have gifts that we desperately need, in order to be the people that God calls us to be in the world. That in order for all of us to be disciples, in order for all of us to be shaped and formed into the people God calls us to be and to become, we need Matt, Jessica, and Ezra, and who they are, and who God has called them to be, just as they need the community of God's people to be and become who they are called to be. The same Spirit that we read and hear about in our Scripture this Pentecost Sunday is at work doing, even now, at work doing what the Spirit has always been at work doing since the beginning. And there are no words I can say that can proclaim this better and more truly than what we are going to get together, do, and bear witness to in a few minutes. And then we will together gather at this table. And together as the family of God, we will have a family meal. A meal that proclaims who we are called to be together. A family at a table where there is always room to pull up one more chair. Because it too proclaims who Jesus is and who Jesus is for us and the very good news. At the table, we will be reminded that what we have received is not ours to limit, but rather it is God's to freely give and pour out. This table proclaims the grace of God as the elements of this table are blessed and broken and poured out and given. And we are invited to simply receive what is true and what has already been done and confirmed for us. To be nourished by, to be strengthened and changed by the very one of God who himself came blessed and then broken and poured out and given for the life of the world. And so if indeed a sermon is the proclamation of the sure and certain life-changing, challenging, calling out and assuring and inviting in good news of the promise of God in Jesus Christ, our sermon this morning is yet to come. For it will not just be what we hear, sit and hear with our ears, but it will be what we experience together, what we see with our eyes, what we proclaim together with our lips, what we taste on our tongues, the good news promise of God in Jesus Christ. Sight and sound, touch, taste, and smell, and experience together that we may know this promise of who we are and who we are called to be. Because of who we know and are reminded of, not right now through these words, but in a few moments through what we do together, we will be reminded of who Jesus Christ is for us and in us and among us. and the work of the Spirit that continues to be poured out in and among all flesh, us here right now, the children who led us in our song this morning, the youth who will be standing up here, and all of us as we partake of the gifts of this table and the promise. We will be reminded the promise that the Spirit is yet at work and God's family knows no bounds. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 8, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then joint heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." So the sermon is yet to come. This here is perhaps just a prologue. So as we continue on in our worship and work of the church together this morning, may we have ears to hear, and eyes to see, hands and feet and bodies to touch and respond to the promise of who we are all called to be by the fact of who God is for us and for the world. May it be so. May we together today not just receive what is being proclaimed to us, but may we together in the work of the church here this morning, may we proclaim what is true about who we are, because we know what is true. We have seen, we have tasted, we have experienced what is true about who God is in Jesus Christ for us. So the sermon is yet to come. And in the meantime, I invite us now to sing. Let us stand and sing in anticipation of the sermon yet to come. Hymn number 436, you can find it in the blue hymnals in the pews. Hymn number 436, "We Are Your People."